Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? He loves you.
Thank you for tuning in to The First Word. This is yours truly, Pastor C, in the Sanctuary Studio in Landover Hills, Maryland. I'd like to wish everyone a happy Sunday. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. We are here getting ready to go into the Word of God one more time. We thank God for the opportunity to get into the Word again. As always, we always are studying the book of Proverbs because Proverbs has 31 chapters and there's a day for every chapter. And today we'll be studying the sixth chapter because the day is the 6th of December. Brother Jamal is going to be leading us in our study. Before we have study, we have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, that we humbly bow, God, and thank you. Another privilege and another opportunity to get together and study your word. Father, we pray that you will bless us, that we will be able to study to show ourselves approved unto you. Oh God, that we would be able to apply this word to our lives, share it with others. And as always, God, that this will be done to your glory. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Minister Jamal.
Amen, amen. I want to say good morning to the pastor and all the brothers on the line. Truly a blessing to get together on the line and be able to talk about God's word, just like Pastor said, being that it's December 6th, we will be studying the sixth proverb. And I would like to start at verse 20. It says, "My son, keep your father's commandments. And do not forsake your mother's teaching." Verse 21, "Bind them upon your heart forever. Fasten them around your neck." Verse 22 says, "When you walk, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. When you awake, they will speak to you." These couple of verses speak to me because it shows the significance to listening to our parents, and not just listening to our earthly parents, but listening to our heavenly Father. He says, "Don't forsake these teachings. Don't just blow them and brush them off. But what I want you to do is to bind them around your neck and bind them in your heart and put it around your neck for when you will walk, these things will guide you. And when you do certain things, the same when you're awake, it will speak to you, and when you sleep, it will affect you. So when you are dealing, especially with God's word, because God's word says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. So when we listen to these words and we hear the reading of the Bible, and we must take those we must take heed to that, because when we do, when we walk, it will guide us, and when we're awake, it will speak to us. So when we get into that presence, and when we get into that mode where we're now following and now we're listening, we will be in a better state. Pastor.
Amen. I like the way you say that, is that, you know, it's our responsibility, and what we have to understand as men of God is God's not going to force us or twist our arm to do anything. It is our responsibility to put his instructions into play. There are three sections in this proverb. One talks about surety or borrowing. One talks about being lazy. And then the section you're starting off with talks about adultery. And God wants us to get in a place where we understand what he says about adultery. We're in a place where we know when it comes, what to look for, the signs. And because we have the instruction, we can make the right choices not to fall into it. Because we were talking in our play on last week about how it's easy to get trapped into following after a fine young lady or fine woman or woman of anything. It's easy to if she's looking good, she's smelling good, and she's talking it so good, what you want to hear, then you can easily fall into a trouble. But if you have the word of God going through your spirit and your heart on a daily, regular basis, in the morning and in the afternoon and the evening, what happens is when you see it, you can say, yeah, she's looking good, she's smelling good, and she's talking it real good. But I know that the instructions of God say that if I put fire in my bosom, I'm going to get burned. So I'm not trying to get burned, but I'm going to leave Shoddy alone.
Amen, amen. I know, you know, even for me, you know, we often, you know, go for what looks good to us, and we often, especially as men, we often go where it makes us feel good. That she's saying all the right things, and she's sucking up to me, and she's doing everything that possible, you know, to try to draw me in, and I'm glad that you said that, Pastor, because it takes me into my next verse. It says, verse 25, says, do not lust in your heart after her beauty, or let her captivate you with her eyes. See, there are things that, you know, men we tend to not look for the woman that God wants us to have because of, like you said, shorty across the street, shorty right away, on easier access. She's not going to make me work for anything if I buy her something to eat. And the youngins calling now Netflix and chill. If I just turn on a movie and get some food, I know I can get what I want for her. But see, the woman of God will deny you. The woman of God will tell you that she's saving herself for the marriage. See, the woman, the woman of God will put you on that straight path with God. She will enhance your praise. She will she will become your equal. And like we were talking about a couple first words ago, Pastor, that when you and your woman, when the woman of God gets into situations, they can now put down that suppressing fire.
Amen.
Because when you press a fire, so whatever goal that your woman's trying to get to, you're putting down a suppressor fire while she's getting to that goal. And when you're trying to get to this goal, she's putting down a suppressor fire. But the women of the world can't understand that. The women of the world says, you're just argumentative. The women of the world says, I don't understand what you're going through. And some women of the world say, don't talk to me about that God stuff. So it's very important then to get with the woman of God. What she does is compliments your prayers. And what I mean by that is no longer just you praying. Now God is recognizing y'all as one, and now the prayer is being answered. What you think about that, Pastor?
Yeah, I'm with you 100%. It reminds me of, I think it was a couple of Sundays ago when Minister Grimes was talking about we got to understand our value. You know, a lot of times we talk about the value of the female and being godly, but we need to understand our value. We're valuable as well. We're valuable to God, and we need to understand we shouldn't sell ourselves short, you know, of who we believe God has for us. And if we can stay away so much from the physical, we'd be all right, but we as men, you know, like we were talking in the play, Shorty, you know, Keisha got a boom boom, you know, Shorty got it going on, smile, got the thing popping and everything else, you know, and men like that. That's what puts us on the prowl, you know. And, you know, we have to understand that, you know, we have to be choice. We have to pick the choice and make the right choices to get the right one that God wants for us. Otherwise, you'll end up with a whole bunch of headache, man. Any other fellas on the line want to chime in?
Yeah, that's true, sir.
Hello? Yeah, I agree. Same thing. What you guys are saying about, you know, us having worth and, you know, value in ourselves. One thing that I was looking at real quick was in verse 9, it was like, how long will thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise from thy sleep? Yet ye of little sleep and slumber, folding of thy hands to sleep. So shall poverty come as a robber, thy want as an armed man. I feel like you can make a connection with that as, like, as men, we like to have pride, and, you know, like you guys were saying, you know, we like to say we got the baddest one, with, you know, you can look at it, she'd be bad and all this other stuff, and, you know, catching the eye and everything, and, man, like, you know, that's you? Yeah, that's me, you know, stuff like that. And, you know, I feel like, you know, if you with your people, you, like, don't sleep on me, you know, and we use that word nowadays, young people, you know, don't sleep on me, like, don't count me out, you know what I'm saying? Like, just because I'm, you know, me, just don't count me out. But the thing is, like you guys were saying, if we know our value and our worth, we will be patient. And, you know, even though we're counted out and we've been slept on, you know, waiting on that one, I think it will be worth it.
Amen. Everything y'all said is very key, and it brings me to my next point because, you know, when I was reading verse 11, I'm going to read verse 10 first. It says, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a bandit, scarcely like an armed man. And what God has shown me is that I don't think so of much that he's speaking of physical, but what he's speaking of is spiritual. Some of us Christians that are in spiritual poverty, because we have given our ways to the world, and we don't want to give our will and our ways to the Lord. So what I think so much that he's talking about the spiritual poverty. When you have spiritual poverty, then everything else is going to fall around you. When your spirit isn't right, everything else that where you move, what you touch, and what you say will not come to pass, because we have to get mindset of the riches of God. We have to take out the riches of the world, because in a hundred years, the money, all the money that we made, or whenever Jesus comes back, all the money that we ever made, all the chicks that we ever had, all the bad houses and the bad cars we ever had is not going to matter anymore. The only thing that's going to matter when Jesus comes back is if you gave your soul to him or not. So we have to put in our work as Christians to keep faithful, to stay on the track, to stay on the trail, to know that that there are brighter days coming. They don't look like it, and it doesn't seem like it, but if we always knew the end, we would not need God. So when especially as men, because as men, we feel like whatever we've done it our own anyway. And that's why God puts us through those tests where everybody else is ignoring us, everybody else doesn't want to hear our problems, everybody else doesn't want to endure this storm with me. So when we get into that place, we have to say, God, you know, I'm giving it all to you. We have to get into the place where we give it to God and we're satisfied. We have to get into a place that where we see that, okay, I might not have everything on this world physically, but spiritually, my Father owns all of it. Yeah. Spiritually, I can have anything that I want because my Father owns it. And what we do is we say it and we claim it in the name of Jesus. See, we don't have to work harder than the rest. See, we the key is the Bible, and the key to life is in His words. Now, when we tap into the power source, then we will be able to create the light. But if we don't tap into the power source, yes, we'll just be a lamp that's just sitting there. But once we tap into the power source, we become the light. What you think about that, Pat?
I think you're spot on with that, especially when you talk about the spiritual poverty and how important, you know, he was in the word comparing a person to an ant. And the ant, he goes and handles his business. And so he handles his business. So when challenges come, or when the weather gets bad, or when situations arrive, that the ant is prepared because he's always about his business. He's always on the grind. He's always keeping it 100. And what we have to do as men is understand we there's no cut card for us. We can't take a break. And if we stay in tune with the Word of God, putting our work in with God, what happens is when life comes, and all of those life comes, I mean, people, you know, fall down the steps, people get in accidents, people have illness in their body, problems in their family. And so what God is telling us is to be like that ant. You know, always put your work in with God. Always get that word in you. Always, you know, follow His instructions. So when these things come upon you, you're not going to fall apart and be without hope or without resources because you're like, oh, my gosh, this happened. You know, what am I to do? But because you were like that ant, or you were like that soldier, you know, for God, you kept putting your work in, getting the wisdom, the guidance, the understanding, the knowledge of God's word, what to do in these situations. When this stuff happens, you're spiritually prepared. And, you know, this is where Christians and particularly men, we have to get into it because life happens. I don't care where you are. Somebody hit your car, your parents will get sick, your wife, your father, somebody else will get hurt. But if you've got the Word of God inside and you're connected to that power source, you'll be able to weather that storm. Yeah, it's going to rain. It might be storming. But if you know where the windshield wipers are, you know where the defrost is, you can crank them jokers up on blast, turn your defrost on, and you can get through that storm. But if you don't know where they are, you're going to be in a bad situation.
Amen. Brother Anthony, can I get you to chime in on the situation?
Yeah, I feel like, you know, the proper preparation for certain situations, you know, stuff like that, like the ant does, is a key in life. And, you know, you should, you know, focus on God and, you know, prepare for, like, the tough times, you know, stuff like that.
Yes, sir. It's so key and so important for us men to get in the line with God because we are the ones that strayed away from the church. When we go inside the churches, we see a lot of women. You know, no disrespect
Amen.
To the women, but they have
Amen.
fire. They own the hospitality ministry, and they are the trustees, and they are the ushers, and it's very key for us men to get into the Word of God. First of all, so we can pass down this knowledge, this good knowledge, down the generations. I have a friend, and he doesn't believe in God, and the reason that he doesn't believe in God is because his father didn't believe in God, and the reason his father didn't believe in God is because his father's father didn't believe in God. So it's a generational curse. Because when we get the men out of the church, now the generations will stop. The generations of the young upcoming in Christ will stop. It was D.L. Hughley, a comedian, and he said, "Well, Mama, you getting me dressed up for church, but Daddy ain't gotta go to church, so I ain't going to church." We leaders. We're natural born leaders. So whatever we see our pops do as a youngin', we gonna do when we get old. Whatever we don't see, or whatever that we do catch, it's very important for us to stand up and be mighty men of God. So our kids, amen, not just our kids, but the youngins on the block that looks up to us, the youngins that don't even know that we don't even know look up to us, say, you know what? He's going to church and he's cool. He's praising God and he's cool. He's in the word and he's hip. He's in the word and he still maintains his masculinity. He's in the church and it's all right, and that's what he's promoting. Often that's why, you know, when I came to the heart of God, I started saying, I'm from the heart of God. So when you come to the heart of God, you can be proud. And at dance rehearsal yesterday, little Ray Janae, youngest, she's about 5 years old, 6 years old. She came up to me and she said, "Do you know where I'm from?" I said, "I don't know where you're from." She said, "She's from the heart of God."
That's all right.
It's men in place at the heart of God that's promoting the heart of God, letting you know that you can still maintain your reputation as a cool individual and still serve God. We when we come into a church, there is no masculinity. There's no I'm gonna change you now. You have to act more feminine. No, we still maintain our masculinity, but we're just doing it under God. See, when we give it to God, when we start walking and talking with God, it's just some things that we used to do that we don't want to do anymore. Because when you have the respect, just like if you're a smoker and you walk into somebody's home or you come in contact with a non-smoker, out of the respect for them, you might smoke in another place or you might smoke before you get to them. Now, that's not saying, oh, I'm a punk and, well, no, that's just because you genuinely love this person. You genuinely have affection for this person. So you're not going to you're not going to try to disrespect them or make them stumble and fall. Pastor.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And it's just a thing of growing up. And you know, when you were talking about that generational curse, if you have people that are supposed to be in a position, whether your father or your parent or your leader or someone, they have to grow up. And everybody has to grow up. I'm not, you know, 10 years old anymore. And, you know, I shouldn't be acting like I'm 10. But there's a time and a place where you know, when I was a child, I act like that child. But when I became a man, I had to put away childish things. And so every generation, we should have someone in place that's telling us, hey, you know, you did that was cool 5 years ago, but now you need to be here. Now you need to be here. You know, and you know, you shouldn't be at home chilling, you know, expecting your wife to be the leader of the church, the leader of your family. You know, that's crazy. That's insane. That's why, you know, children are not doing well now, because the men have been like the slugger. We're lazy. We don't want to show up. We don't want to do. We want somebody else to do. We want to watch the football game. We want to exercise with our remote control finger. And you know, we get to a place where now we're looking at the world. Wow, what's wrong? Why is all the kids off the chain? There's no respect. Blah 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 blah. You know, but where were we? You know, when we were 15, 16, 17, in our 20s, 30s, and so forth and so on, teaching somebody else. You know, that's what a man is. A man is the one that's always growing in God. You know, always looking at those commandments, saying, okay, I'm mature to this level. I'm going to act this way, but I'm also going to, teach somebody else. But that's the whole thing about us with our family leadership, our church leadership, and our community leadership. Again, you know, God gave us the word. That's why we call it the first word. He gave it to us first. You know, there's no cut card. You know, pity parties need to go out the window. We need to man up as a man of God, get into the word, and be responsible. And that's what it takes. And if we don't, then everything else, the women are going to dominate, kids are going to be off the chain, and we're going to be sitting there talking about, man, how did it get this bad? And it got that bad because we didn't step up and do what we were supposed to do. And, you know, I don't want to sound harsh this morning, but, you know, you need to call a spade as a spade, call a punk a punk, you know, and you know, encourage people to do what thus say the Lord.
That's very important. That's very important. Brother Anthony, can you chime in?
A lot to take in, but basically, I feel like the same way like you guys have been saying, like, you know, you should be proud of the same place that you're from, and, you know, the heart of God, like you always say, from the heart of God. And then you started that trend, we could say that much, but, you know, it's a good thing to be proud of who you are. And, you know, I feel like a lot of people will respect that, you know.
And that's what it's about. That's what it's about, us being men in the church and still having the respect. The honor, the respect, the work, mean nothing. The respect from your boys, the respect from your partners, the respect from these authority across the street, that don't matter. I heard someone say that I'd rather be famous in the eyes of God than be famous in the eyes of man any day. It's important for us to especially because, like I said, we are the ones that are scarce in the church. We are the ones that have power through God to work in a manner that we are effective. But when the men are sidetracked, when we are knocked down because baby moms ain't acting right, or shorty ain't doing this and shorty ain't doing that, that is the enemy's plan. That is the enemy, because see, he knows that we like women and he knows that we are men, and the first shorty that comes across our nose that got it going on, we're following. And that is the key to the enemy's plan. I can't get him this way, I can't get him that way. Well, I show enough though. And if I send her across the way and she's looking real good, and what you say, Pastor, talking it real good, they're gonna go. The play we said, the heart of God, to unpack. Brother Anthony was one of the ones that he played the character that had a lot of women, and his life was normal. See, it's not until we give it to God. And when we give it to him, yes, we are going to, because we are human, it is we're going to worry about it. But when we give it to God, and see, when you give it to him, you have to give it to him like, okay, look, this is going to work. Oftentimes when I was little and my brother would pick on me, and there was nothing I could do but tell mama, because I know when I ran and I told mama that she would do something about it. So it's not until that we get into a place where we know when we give it to God that everything will be all right. We don't know how it's going to be okay. We don't know when it's going to be okay. But because Jesus died on the cross to roll for our sins on the third day, it's going to be all right. We have to get into that place where we say, God, I need you to move the storm for me. But if you won't move the storm, pray that you walk with me. We have to get into that state, and we have to get into that mind state that men, we are important. We have everything. We have things to get to the table just as much as women. We have things that we have designated and designed orders. We just say, Pastor, the orders never change.
The orders haven't changed.
When they haven't changed, we're just waiting, like Pastor said, for the maturity level and the accountability. Because especially as men, we like to point the finger everywhere else except for the right one. We want to say, well, daddy didn't do this, and mama didn't do this, and auntie did this, and uncle did that. But everything that that happened in your life, God is working it out for the good. Pastor.
Amen. Just before we close out, I want to know if anybody else had anything to comment on. I know we had a couple other fellows on the line. Do you want to chime in?
Yeah, good morning. I just wanted to say that you just made a very, 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 very huge point, and I think that oftentimes people carry the weight of their daddies and the weight of even their own history. The one thing that you just said is that you don't have to be who your daddy was, and in spite of where you came from, in spite of what you came from, you still can be everything that God wants you to be. And as long as people get a revelation of that and walk out their purpose in God, you know, that's where it's at right there. That was an outstanding point.
We got another brother on the line.
Good morning. This question. I just wanted to say that Jamal, when he was talking about be proud of where you come from, it kind of was touching the situation that I was dealing with. I've been having these weird dreams, and I've had them at different moments, that I went from a good place to a dark place, and all I could remember was me moving to that dark place with nothing to do, and Jamal just touched on something that I thought of, and people was telling me about. They was telling me to be proud where I came from, because only God can deliver you from that dark place.
Amen.
Amen. You would close us out, Jamal?
Yes, sir. With a word of prayer. First of all, I just want to say, you know, thank you, Pastor, for always giving me the opportunity to use my gifts. Thank you all the brothers on the line for staying faithful and staying in the favor line. We will grow to the max capacity in the name of Jesus. Everybody just keep on grinding in the name of Jesus. Keep on praying. Keep on fasting. And we will prevail. So if all hearts and minds are clear, Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just want to say thank you. Father God, I want to thank you for all the men that's on the line, Father God. Father God, I thank you for allowing them to take the accountability and the maturity, Father God, to get on this first word, Father God, and get the word first fresh. Father God, we pray right now, Father God, that you bind up the adversary, all depression, all argument, Father God, all things that are not of you, Father God, we ask that you bind them up, Father God. We ask that you loose the healing power of the Holy Spirit, yeah, the rest of power, the delivering power, Father God, over us right now, Father God. And right now, Father God, I ask you, Father God, to walk around our churches, Father God, whatever churches that we attend, Father God, and bind everything, Father God, that's not of you. And Father God, after you finish binding them up, loose the fresh anointing, Father God, over your house today, Father. We pray, Father God, that you will build Pastor up, Father God, give him a strong word, Father God, to feed his flock. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Gonna do it for today. Hopefully we'll see you next Sunday on the first word. God bless. All right.